back to the Challenge War of the Worlds Wrap Up Podcast for episode 5. I am Brian Cohn. For me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Escher. Ali, how are you?
Brian, I'm not doing too well.
Not well?
You could say I'm metaphorically at half-mast because...
Oh, boy.
I have an update on what I thought was my superior challenge watching skills. Turns out not so much.
I'm very worried. Where is this going?
Well, first, how are you?
I'm now not well also because I'm very concerned.
What do you think I'm going to say? Like, I didn't watch the episode and I'm just telling you.
That's what we're for. Because then we'd be in a big problem.
I almost was like home late and I was worried I was going to miss the first like 10 minutes. And then I was like, what would happen? I would just delay the podcast and watch the first 10 minutes. But like, what would happen if I just hadn't watched a segment and was like, oh yeah, that sounds right.
We should just do a Bird Box episode where we just describe it to the other person. Like, we watch half and then you watch the other half and we describe each half to each other.
What are you, Akiva and Rob now?
Did they do that?
They do shit like that. Oh, also, this brings me to something I wanted to say at the end, but would have forgotten. And who cares? Because we haven't started talking about the show yet. Although I was worried my intro would take us to the show too quickly, but here we are. Could everyone? So I know Akiva does not listen to this podcast, but famously, he is my favorite podcaster, including me and you. So sorry to both of us.
No offense taken.
And I feel like I jumped on the like Akiva fan bandwagon before it was cool. Like now he's got like this Renap thing. And I was just like listening when he was on the voicemails. I guess I didn't listen to Seinfeld. So maybe people were better than me. Okay. So he's a big challenge guy. And maybe once a year I'm like, oh, you coming on? And he's like, oh yeah, sure. And it's like the least enthusiastic, non-committal, not like, when do you record, like nothing. So if everybody listening to this podcast, because I feel like I'm going to prank him now, could tweet, maybe two people would do this, but even that I think would freak him out. Don't say I said anything. Just be like, oh my God, Akiva, it'd be so great if you were on the Challenge podcast. Like, no context at all.
We need to form a hashtag.
No hashtag, because it seems like we're organized. I want it to be as though like, 10 people. I'm going to give out his handle right now. It's at Keev, K-E-E-V 26. Just like...
I feel like I'm going to give out his handle like it's his phone number.
Yeah, give out his handle.
Very public.
I want to make it easy for people. You're doing me a favor. Just be like, at Keev, do you watch a challenge? Like, there's this great podcast. You should be on it. Like, just whatever. You like, tag us, don't tag us. I'll find it. I just think this will be funny. No one will do it. But, you know, if one person does it, it'll still be funny to me.
We'll get one. We'll get one.
All right. So
maybe two.
Thank you. Thank
Sorry.
You.
So why are you not well?
If we could get like 50, can you imagine? We can't get 50, but if we could, my gosh. Okay. Why am I not well? Well, now I'm better because that made me laugh. No, I tried to make a joke. It didn't land. I am at half mast today because I identified last week that the producers were like, or the editors were like focusing on the flag being at half mast because Bananas was gone. So PJ Gaughan says, he tweeted us, opening night shot for this episode, flag is def still at half mast, hashtag mast watch, at us. And so I was like, you know what, I gotta investigate this. I went back to the oldest episode on my DVR, which is episode 2, because if you'll recall...
Wow, you don't delete episodes?
It's like, I'm usually not home, I'm at home for spring break, but like...
I'm very OCD with that.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Not that you're OCD, but that like the two of us handle that very differently. Like I could have 700 things I haven't watched.
Like tonight's episode's already off my DVR. It's already off.
Oh, wow. I think you're better than me. Like, then you couldn't do this. This is what I do for the podcast. It's not because I'm a disorganized person. So I went back to episode 2 because my DVR does auto delete after 5. And if you'll recall that there was this horrible after show after the first episode. So I only have episode right. 2, and the flag was at half mast to start the season, but very difficult to find. I had to like fast forward to the moment between the conversations and the challenge, and like I had to go through it twice to even see it. So I still think the focus on the flag was like a Bananas joke, but I take it back. I'm not the cool person I thought I was.
We'll keep tracking it as the season goes on. I feel like if West got knocked out, they might have taken the flag off then if they were following all those protocols.
While we're 5 minutes into this podcast and nothing has been said of substance, I had this thought starting the episode, and maybe I'm the only one, but at this point, I'm sort of just like, when they have this like lovey moment with Car and Polly, all I can think of now is like, do you think Danielle is watching this season?
I feel like probably not, and I feel like she's probably never watched before, so I feel like it's not a hard thing for her to cut out of her life.
I don't think it's like a cutout. I think it's sort of like, if I'm Danielle, I mean, I don't even like follow exes, or like, not in like a dramatic way, but I tend to not keep up with my exes because I just like, I'm not interested. So I probably wouldn't watch. Maybe you have like a friend watch and like send you notes about like how embarrassing this is, that like, like you'd want to watch this. And maybe you're like, ooh, Danielle, maybe watch this episode. Because all the foreshadowing of how terrible Kara's relationship is about to be is like kind of delicious if you're Danielle.
Totally. The move is to have a friend, or like not even a close friend, maybe like an outside friend. And then they point to you to like, all right, this is a good moment for you to watch.
Do you think we're the outside friend? Like, is she, Danielle, are you listening right now?
Maybe on top of sending a vegan, oh my God, I can't say this, but you can send Danielle tweets about when to watch. Like, we can send her alerts.
You can't say Akiva.
No, I'm very bad with names.
Wait, no, but that's not bad with names. It's like, can't say a word. Like, Akiva.
Akiva. Okay. Ask me again in 10 minutes, I'm going to butcher it.
What did you say? I think you said a vegan. I was like,
I can't make a joke. I'm not making a joke. I'm not going to say it.
Wait, was it going to be like a kosher joke?
No. Never mind.
Text it to me.
Okay.
Okay, so someone do the hard-hitting journalism. Like, is Danielle, I need like Us Weekly or US Weekly, as I call it when I'm reading it fast, or like Derek's podcast. Like, someone find out if if Danielle is watching the season. Sorry, now I'm laughing because Ryan did text me and I told him before he jumped on that I've not yet watched Survivor, so he was censoring a Survivor joke. You could have said that.
Yeah, I guess so. But I didn't want to like get your brain working. Like, oh, what could this be? We're looking for deeper thought. I didn't want to throw you off track, which by not wanting to throw you off track, we are now off track. So it didn't really work.
All right. Well, that was very courteous of you. Thank you so much. And just the odds that you would spoil Survivor are like almost zero on this podcast. And the fact that we came close in the one time I didn't watch. Okay. Another question. With Kyle, who can tell the difference between those guys this episode? Am I right? With Kyle using the phrase new vet, is vet officially broken?
I do like the idea of segmenting out vets. Like, there should be the old vets and now like new vets and rookies or prospects. I actually like that thought of segmenting who the vets are. Like, Wes and Kyle should be different versions of vets.
But like, doesn't that go back to whether Kyle's a vet at all? Like, the standard of vets, like, because vet segments out a population of like people who are veterans.
But like, yeah, but yeah, but then we need another word. So then, what's another word? I would say vet should apply to like the Wes's and CT's.
A-hole.
And then we need an in between. Okay, that works.
Pre-vet. No, I see what you're saying. Like, in the way that we have come to use vet, using old vet and new vet would be better than like calling Devon a vet her second challenge in, but, or like Cam, but my question is like, old vet has like a bad connotation. Like, new vet is like, I'm the new vet. Like, bananas right. Is gone. Like, I'm the new regime. And old vet is like the dusty veteran of, speaking of that after show, Morgan, like what Morgan had to say about the vet. So, I get that there should be a delineation, but I'm not with the new vet, old vet.
Season 34, old vet versus new vet, coming at you.
Versus, what if we did like vets, like challenge veterans versus military veterans versus like pet doctors?
Ooh, all different types of vets. I like it.
We're towing the line into Survivor. I'm just like living nervously on the edge.
So many Survivor references.
All right. The only person upset about JP going home is Turbo. Are you upset at all about this? Like, I was more upset for Turbo than I was when JP went home.
No, that's exactly it. I just don't want to see Turbo sad. It makes me upset. Like, him seeing him being sad that he thought he was Annoying Nani made me sad. Anything that makes Turbo sad will make me sad.
Why? Like, does Nani have a point here when she's sort of like apologizing? I should have prepared you more for like the emotional realities of the game. Like, should the old and new vets be doing more to get their partners prepared for the devastating losses to come?
I mean, they've all done reality show. I mean, Turbo did Survivor twice. Like, you vote out people. Like, I don't know why. I guess he's never done it with a friend, but I mean, I don't think you should have to prep someone for that.
Can we clarify? Was JP friends with Turbo before? I thought they were just like friends from the show.
That's what I thought too. But I thought some of them, like those two, were people that were kind of on their own completely. And now I guess they're really bonded over the first week or two, however long it's been.
Turbo feels just deeply. He doesn't, you know, time is nothing. He spent 180 days on an island in Turkey. So that's also how Survivor Turkey works, I'm sure.
He had a very good read on Nani, like quickly, about not wanting to like upset her because she'll like pop off at like the drop of a hat. Like, that's right on cue. So good job by him.
I mean, he did watch the first episode, and by watched, I mean like lived the first episode of this live.
I guess so. But Nani hasn't had the major blow up that she's had in the past. So
as diligently as I claim to watch the show for flags, I missed when Turbo called Nani a mom, her mom. Did you catch that?
Well, I caught it. I didn't catch it at any point before this episode, but yeah.
No, I meant in this episode. I only know because like three people tweeted it at us.
Yeah, during the challenge, he said, "Good job, mom."
Oh,
it was weird.
Is that like, is he supposed to be like mama? Like he just like, it's just a language barrier of like, you know, how some people might call someone mama.
It's because she was like caring for him and thoughtful and like kind.
I don't like that. Someone called me ma'am today. To be clear,
devastating
for people following. I mean, people get called ma'am all the time. It was just like mostly funny, the juxtaposition of that. But don't call me mom.
Yeah, that's weird.
She took it well.
The Facebook thread got like off track very quickly with some of the comments about like the mommy and daddy and like the horn. It was like a little too much.
Yeah, but I skipped right through that.
Not great. Yeah.
We talked about that before. How bad, or was that like on our, we must have talked about that. That sounds, I've had that conversation on a podcast. I don't know if it was you or Adam.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember either. It probably came up at some point in our Are You the One history.
Let's talk about the challenge and not just the show, sure. But the actual challenge.
The Tired Out, another fun pun that TJ gets to emphasize. It's one of those like early season sort of final testing challenges, testing your endurance, testing your teamwork, your communication, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I liked this challenge. I think this was one of the first times we got to see like the pairs. I mean, who knows how they're going to run the final, but it was like sort of like a big, it wasn't like a final-esque challenge, right? But it did have multiple elements that might be used in the final or will be used in a final. And we got to see how they would work together under those like stressful circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing I would take away is how people reacted. I was honestly most by far impressed by Maddie, like her kind of mindset going in, knowing that she's safe. So she was going to take the time to scout out and follow other teams and see who would be threats and who would kind of crumble. I thought that was like very encouraging to see from a rookie.
Yeah, I thought that was really, really well played. I also thought Dee did just like a really good job, although when they called it because the three teams placed, it seemed like Dee and Wes were not on par or at the same tire level as the other teams. Maybe she didn't do that well, but at least, and maybe it made sense because in the end, what happened at the end happened at the end, but it seemed like at least the editors wanted us to think Dee was doing a good job.
Yeah, and one like small, I think this might be the first challenge this season which would play into this, but one thing that's great about it, just having like top three finishers and no worry about who finishes last, is we don't have to drag on these challenges. Like, once you get the winners, like, it's done. You don't have to wait for all the team to finishes, which is how we can have more time for things in the house and everything. So that's been a major plus.
Yeah, I noticed that too, because when they finish, I forgot that would happen, and when they finished, I was like, I don't want to keep watching this, and then it ended, so it was great.
Right.
Let's talk about the teams who did not do so well. So Hunter and Georgia struggled pretty much from the jump and did not.
Yeah, Hunter was tapping out at the first tire.
Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, endurance is definitely not my specialty either, but I am not on the challenge, and that seems to be like a major, major hurdle to Hunter winning a final, and maybe explains how Ashley beat Hunter last season.
Yeah, because that was my thought too. I mean, it's not like he's like new to this. Like, he did a final and he theoretically won a final, but I didn't remember his endurance being that like bad or that much of an Achilles heel for him.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because we didn't like really see it, and that goes to like, could we at least get the times? Just like, we get the times. Yeah. If we could get the times, that would be amazing.
Yep.
That's my formal request. I know I don't say it that often, so I figured I would get that across now because it almost never comes up.
Yep. I was surprised we didn't get more of we got it a little bit in the beginning, but Georgia, I guess, played it kind of calm and cool. That was good job by her not like freaking out or getting super mad or upset, because as we see with Bear, that's certainly not the way to go when one of your partners is struggling or going slow.
Yeah, I wonder, and not to be like, oh, this is a gender thing, right? But I wonder if it's because like Georgia just like body weight alone is not going to be able to move those big tires. Like, Hunter mm-hmm. clearly can't either, but like, what is Georgia sort of to do in that point? Like, whereas I guess in Bear's estimation, like, Day was holding him back where he felt like he could have continued and done it without her. I don't agree right. with that, but just like, maybe that's why he had more. And also, he's a shit person, so maybe that's
right.
also it.
And yet, they are a perfect match together.
I think it meant Davon and Bear. I was like, are they beaming Georgia? Well, I don't. Time will tell on that.
Yes. I guess so. But yeah, Bear. That was a scene.
Walk me through the quit. Because, like, again, maybe I miss. Like, I'm trying to pull questions. And maybe I, like, missed the quit on this, if I'm being honest. People are going to at me, but.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed that it was going towards the end of the challenge, and he realized they had no chance of placing top three, and he just didn't feel like finishing, so he quit. He took off his shirt, he pouted, and left Davon to finish.
Yeah, I missed that. I like heard him screaming and carrying on, but I was actually distracted because it looks like Hunter has like the sliced off sleeve of a short sleeve shirt around his head, and I just like don't understand why he can't, like, Under Armour sponsors like everything else, could they get this man a headband?
One step at a time.
All right, but we can actually talk about the Bear stuff. I mean, this was absolutely bananas, and Bear doesn't like do himself any favors. Honestly, when I was watching the challenge, I kind of thought we were gonna cut to him in the house being like, I got heated, I was too competitive, I'm sorry, like, we'll work it out. I did not expect him to double, triple, quadruple down on this later on.
Yeah, because what was wild is that it started off like being on a little bit Bear's side with how Davon was like, I'm gonna go at like my pace, I don't care what Bear's saying, I'm gonna do what I do, if I drag us down, I'm gonna drag us down, or whatever. So if Bear was able to turn that around and try to be encouraging, which obviously it goes back to him being a shit person, then he's not only like wouldn't be the victim, he would he wouldn't be causing a victim, he could be a victim in the situation where Davon was trying to bring him down. But instead he goes way over the top, like how Zach did way back when, about how not to treat a partner. So it was just crazy, the turn of events, that where it went from, it seemed like Davon was being like the slow horse in the pair, to just Bear just tripling down on top of that, and just the target for them just exponentially grew.
It's also strange. I wonder how this plays in the scene, like, because the C word is, I noticed in the subtitles that go across, he said the C word, he called like the winners a bunch of C words. And like, I hate that word. But in the UK, from watching Love, like, I think I'd heard this before, but also from watching Love Island, like, it's like way less of a thing than it is in the US. And I wonder how that goes over to like a, like, like, I was gonna say, like a mixed audience, like people from the US and the UK and other places in the world. Like, I feel like that's a hard thing to come back from when you're like screaming that at a challenge to at least some Americans.
Yeah, I mean, I think it only would have been a bigger thing if the people in the house made it a bigger thing. I don't think they were that. I mean, I think they were just disgusted by everything he did. I don't think they were just disgusted because he used the
C
word. Yeah,
no, but I don't mean it in like a, oh, that was the big catalyst, but I just feel like in just the terms of like escalating behavior, like, I feel like that's something that like would help escalate something to a more serious level, like in the sense that like quitting did also, right? Like, and that's like right. what we saw on TV, and who knows, maybe people are like, oh, it's not the same in the UK, whatever. Maybe I'm more sensitive to it, but like, I, like if Bear just screams at his partner and doesn't quit, quote unquote, and doesn't like scream at everyone, it doesn't continue on, maybe we all move past that. Not we, maybe they do. I don't know. I just felt like there seemed to be like a lot of like escalating events that made that at least particularly horrible to watch. And that's one of them, at least for me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that was like the cherry on top of the Bear shit Sunday, but I think they were pretty far down the rabbit hole at that point anyway, no matter what insult he was really using.
Shannon McDonald says, is Bear 2 years old?
Could be. 1.5, 3, acts like it.
Well, he can drink and get tattooed and date women of a certain age, so I hope not. yeah. He acts so like
I guess
for
this
sure.
was the Bear that people were warning us about, right? About this was him in all of his other TV escapades. This was the level of character we were going to be seeing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems like, yeah, people were like, he like threatened people and stuff like that. But it almost seemed like it would borderline, like from what I remember reading, which is almost nothing, it seemed more like it would borderline like joke too far, or like guy gone too far, like person gone too far. But like seeing this, and somebody wrote in, and I have it later, so I'll read it later. But like, how did he win Celebrity Big Brother with this kind of gameplay?
Yeah, I mean, Josh won.
Honestly, from watching this season, I guess it's like we don't know who Bear lost to, because it was more that Josh like didn't lose than Josh won, or like, you know, Paul didn't win, not Josh won. But from seeing Josh on the challenge, I am like understanding a bit more about why he might have been more palatable of a winner to the people in the house. Like Bear's a terrible strategist because he's mouthing off at the tribunal, which we'll talk about. He's got terrible sportsmanship because he's like horrible, and he's nasty. Like, he's doing all these insults. So just like no social game, no strategy, doesn't show himself to be like that crazy of an athlete, because there are challenges that he could have like pulled more of his weight in, you know, just like he seems to just suck.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. It's a fair question about how he won. So twice, right? You said twice. Yeah, I don't know. Very odd.
So the people who do win are Polly and Natalie. They win again, and like at this point I'm just like getting bored. Like, are they just gonna win every challenge?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're gonna reach a point where we are bored, but then we're gonna look back and be like, wow, like that was like super impressive for both. I mean, because they're not like just finishing top three, they're legitimately winning every one of these challenges. So it's with no like advantages from the previous week as a holdover, it's crazy impressive.
So I'm at both the points that you said, right? Like, I think it's crazy impressive. Like, I think, well, there was never a doubt. We've never doubted Pauly's chops, or not never. Like, since Pauly has displayed his chops, we have not doubted him. Like, Pauly is an amazing challenge competitor when it comes to bred physical. Yeah, Pauly was bred for this. Fine. We saw Natalie, Ninja Natalie. No doubt was she going to come in and be a top tier woman competitor. Both of them showed up, showed out. First place for overall singles. Then they win together as a pair. Okay, week 2, they win. Week 3, they win. Week 4, they win. I'm fine with this. Like, I am, they get all the kudos. Like, I don't need to look back on this and remember. Like, they will be threats in everyone's eyes, including ours, for 10 years, whatever. I'm now bored by them winning all the time, and they're especially because Paulie's game is to just continue to go after Kyle, and like that's boring. So maybe that's playing into it, but I would like a little bit more of an even playing field.
Yeah, that's to me, that's the key, is the fact that he has a clear target, and somehow he's been in a position of power this entire time, and the most he's gotten is like Kyle's friend out, which is like, I don't know what that says about his style of gameplay or whatever, but yeah, once that could be resolved, then it would be a lot more interesting. And it does also help that there's at least two other teams usually with him. This time it was even more so because Kara was with him. So it was very set in stone what was going to happen. But at least for the other weeks, there's been some other people involved in trying to work their game and get some other positions involved.
But he gets his way. Like, he got Kyle in last week, just that Kyle won. So,
right.
All right. So the other teams you mentioned, Nani and Turbo and Theo and Car Maria. I wasn't too optimistic about how interesting this tribunal would be.
No, but at least a little fireworks. Like, you know, got to see Kara. Kara was actually one of the more positive moments that I've seen from her calling out Bear's like subtle misogyny there.
Yeah, I totally agreed with her 100%. But before we get to that, let's actually just like stop and pay our respects to the ass kicking of the century from TJ to Mr. Stephen Bear.
Yeah, I mean, did you think there was any chance that TJ could just like cut someone right on the spot?
Yeah, Caitlin Ash said, did you think TJ was going to send Bear home for quitting? 100% thought that's where his lecture was heading.
Yeah, because I mean, it was leading. He was like, the fact that he also wouldn't like apologize or like or take ownership of it. He was like, no, like I stand by, like I quit. And then he was like, don't let it happen again. No, really, don't let it happen again.
I mean, controversial opinion. I like don't really think TJ had. I mean, TJ has the right to say this because it was hilarious and like accurate. Like Bear was a piece of garbage. But in terms of the like it won't happen again thing, like where does TJ like where's that in the rules? I could quit. I could not participate in the challenge and face the consequences. I mean, maybe TJ was instructed to come in and do this because if people like we figured out, right, figure out that if you like are so far off the lead, you might as well not try. That would be very bad for the show. But right. Otherwise, like Bear can do whatever he wants, right? Like, I don't know. I almost thought it was an overreaction.
No, it was a very appropriate reaction and one that I fully expected from TJ, especially because there's how over the top he was. Like if he was just like going slow and like just wasn't really like doing much, but he was still like competing, TJ probably wouldn't call it out. But it was how like over the top he was and then like berating Devon. Like that's a classic TJ call out moment.
Well, but that's where it's like the it won't happen again. Like look like stern like dad thing. I don't know. We don't usually get that when people don't participate in the challenge because they're afraid or they quit, they DQ, whatever. Like the other times that he like lectures people, like you can get a TJ lecture, but like he doesn't have to promise you won't happen again. I don't know. To me, it felt like a little bit more than usual. And maybe like the fact that the future of the challenge, not the future, but like the challenges won't work if people don't do them. If people right. do this every right. time, they're in trouble.
Yes. Which I think this is. Right. I mean, we normally don't see this even when people stink or like DQ, it's because they stink, not because they're just not doing it. And when they don't do it, like a Heights thing, TJ blatantly calls them out on it.
Right. But then doesn't say like you must participate in Heights for the rest. Right. You will risk your life on this 30-foot crane.
Right. You should be up on the crane pushing people off. That's how you should be able to do it.
Shailene, the best Shailene can hope for at this point to get airtime is to stop participating in a challenge and have TJ Reamer out.
There you go.
But okay, yeah, so we talked about the tribunal. They start talking. They want Turbo wants to punish the quitter. No surprise. He wants Baron.
Yes. As little as we know about Turbo, this fit his brand perfectly.
But like also, don't you feel like you know everything about Turbo?
Yeah. He's I feel like, yeah, very easy to understand and come to terms with very quickly.
So then Ninja Natalie throws out Ashley and Cam. Theo is unhappy because two of his UK people are up. And then Kara's like, I want Zach and Zahida because my old best friend is now my frenemy.
Are you? I was stunned how quickly things deteriorated between Kara and Zach to this point. Stunned.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with Bananas not being in the house.
So he was like the pseudo glue keeping them together?
I don't think he was the pseudo glue. I just think Bananas would have been able. Like, I don't think Kara, Paul, like, here are the players, right? Zach and Kyle and Paulie and Kara. And I just don't think either any of the four of them have the ability to sort of like see the forest through the trees on this. I mean, clearly they haven't had any ability to do that. And I just think if Bananas were there, he would have been able to like be a mitigating factor between this like big thing with Zach and with right. Kara. And without them, I mean, it's just like Dumb and Dumber, like coming after again. Like I've never seen a, have we ever seen a season where like more people who could be better working together than apart eat each other? I mean, week after week after week, we're seeing like allies, would be allies, should be allies eating each other.
Yeah, no, it's fair. It's not even surprising that like she would go after him. It just seems like how like far, like to be the point of like my former friend, and they're both like firing shots that like there's almost no coming back from. Like it was like 2 weeks ago that they were like such, like they were like close friends, and now over seemingly like so little, they're just like completely like burning bridges everywhere.
Yeah, it's also like with the bananas factor, like Kyle, Bananas, and Zach were working together. And Kara wants to hate absolutely everyone that would associate themselves with Kyle. Yeah. And like Bananas gets a pass on that for some unknown reason. But once he's out, then it's like, okay, well now everybody who's with Kyle is out. So like, I mean, I guess Bananas was the glue. Like Kara and Zach do have an independent relationship, but I think in this house, in this situation, like Bananas was the one who was able to sort of work with all of these like opposing factors together.
Yeah. And this with Theo, this was like the first sense of, with the numbers, amazingly, I can't believe I'm saying this 5 episodes in, but with the numbers starting to dwindle, the UK people having to start to turn on each other. There's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I was surprised that like Kara was able to sort of like take control and like get Ninja's throw of Ashley and Cam out of the situation. Like, I don't know, she's just sort of like, my pick's a definite. And like Theo puts at Gus and Jenna, so then that becomes a definite, and then Zach and Zeta are definites, Gus and Jenna are definites, and then she's like, okay, well now my team has picked 4 of the people, and Nani and Turbo can pick Bear and Devon.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting now like where Josh and Amanda kind of fit with everything going on. I think they're in a really good spot to always, they might always be nominated, because they're just an easy team to toss up. But then I feel like they're got a good chance to just kind of keep skating by, because there's just so many other warring factions going on that people kind of always want to have Josh and Amanda as like this backup plan that, all right, well, if all else fails, we can go say them. But then no one actually wants to say them because they want to always have the ability to save that, to say them later.
Yeah, Evan, we got a couple questions about Amanda at this point in the episode. Something cool about like getting the questions live is like I can see when people are sending them. So Evan Feliciano says, is this Amanda's best season?
I don't think I even would give her any credit for this. I think it's just kind of just how the chips fell that she's in a good spot.
I totally agree. Like, I think she's so lucky that, again, like, allies who should not be against each other are working against each other.
Yeah. I think there's a very good chance Amanda just does something crazy and blows up and forces people just to say her, because it's all right, now we'll just say her. Like, I think that's a very likely scenario. But if she could somehow keep her cool, and if Josh can keep his cool, then yeah, I think there's a, they might be able to survive the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, they might move along long enough where people start wanting them in the final.
Right. That's how.
But the one thing I'll give Amanda like a Salt Bay sprinkle of credit for is like when Zach starts agreeing with her and starts supporting her and is going off about Kara, she doesn't jump in. She just sort of like, she's not like, oh, and she's also not like, I told you, where was this? Like, I was right. Like, you know, she's just letting it happen, which. Yeah. No, for a normal person, no credit, but for Amanda, a little sprinkle of credit.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair, because that's Amanda's biggest problem is not keeping her mouth shut. So that was a good job just letting Zach vent and saying things to the camera, like in a confessional, not in the moment.
And then CPO Kyle Picard wants to know whose side, if they'll even have her, should Amanda try to be on, Kara or Zach?
Well, I guess it's half of that's kind of moot now, so. I would say Kara.
Oh, true, because Zach. But like, I guess the Kyle. So the remnants.
Right.
The UK, I mean, I guess. Why,
yeah, the Kara. I guess the well, is it the Kara or UK side? Because if it's, yeah, if it's, well, then the UK.
But then it's Theo, right? Is with Kara. So it is, honestly, we have some blurred lines. Not a great song, but a great summary of this game.
Yeah. So, I mean, the option is just, not like no one, keep siding with no one and just hoping you can keep skating by. But if the choice is anything or UK, I would side with UK.
The thing that I would have said Zach, if Zach were still in the game on, is like, it's not, there are some people who are just sort of like, I'll get to Amanda later, bigger fish to fry. And like her name keeps coming up, like Davon and Bear brought her name up. Zahida brought her name up. Zach was like actively protecting her. Like Zach was actively like, no, I will not put her in. She has our back. Shockingly.
They're better partners when they're not partners.
I know. I was going to say like $1 million couldn't bring these people together, but like hatred for Kara. Okay. But yeah, like I think it's like they need to find out who's like recognizing that they're with them. Maybe that person is Wes at some point. Like, I don't know, because the Hunter thing, like maybe that person is Kyle. But like, I am so against Kara that I am with you, not just like, I'll get to you later.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
I have a question. We see Ninja here kind of get her pick vetoed. And then later we see the vote she wants to cast. She doesn't cast it. Like, when, if ever, will Ninja get tired of playing Polly's game? Because while Ninja is bringing social game and strategy and physicality to the challenge, she, at the end of the day, is, in my opinion, 100% playing Polly's game right now.
The Kyle stuff. When the Kyle stuff is over, then, like, Polly, I feel like Polly won't even be as forward with what needs to happen. I feel like maybe I'm giving Paulie a little too much credit, but I feel like he's just so focused on the Kyle situation that when that clears up, I think that could be an opportunity where Ninja can try to take a little more control over the voting.
See, my thought is that she won't be playing, she won't stop playing Paulie's game until next season she's on. Like, I think Ninja is going to sort of be the person who's like, almost like Tori maybe for her first season of like, I'm getting in with my partner. She's like all about partnership. Like I'm getting in with these vets and then I will like get the lay of the land and be like, I'm here playing my like I could see the clip of her being like last season, I dealt with all of Polly's drama and played Polly's game. Like this season, like I'm drama free and I'm coming in to like win beast, whatever. I don't know. Unless the partnerships, like the allyships dissolve and she's playing an individual game, I think she's just going to kind of follow Polly here.
Yeah, and honestly, that might not be the worst thing for her. I mean, I think, you know, with her strength and her ability and challenges and eliminations, she's always going to be someone that people are going to be scared to go up against anyway. So kind of keeping her enemies at a minimal to start is not like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that she's keeping her enemies like at a maximum by being like so linked with Polly, but I think it's to her advantage. Like, whereas Josh might have gained some credit for departing from Amanda a little bit. Like, I'm not with Amanda. Like, I don't have her baggage. Like, Ninja, their best strength is their relationship, their chemistry as a team. So, like, why rock the boat? Keep winning. Who cares?
Yeah, that's really fair.
Okay, so let's talk about these little pitches to the tribunal. Jenna and Gus. This fascinated me.
About Jenna separating herself from Zach?
Yeah, like Jenna immediately saying her and Zach are playing different games. So Edward Morris says, does Jenna care if Zach goes home? My question was like, I don't think this was Jenna's intention, but is Jenna throwing Zach under the bus in this clip to the tribunal?
I don't think so, but honestly, this is like the best thing I feel like that can happen to Jenna's game. I think with Zach being in the game, that opens the target more for Jenna. Now Zach gone, she is so much less threatening that there's a great chance that now she could skate by for at least a few weeks.
Yeah, normally I wouldn't put it past Kara to be like, well, look, if Zach had won this and they were protected with the relic and then Kara and Polly are in the tribunal, like Jenna goes in as like a hit to Zach. But because Kara seems to have this like demented respect of like, I'm doing this for you, Jenna. Congrats. Your like disgusting boyfriend's out and you can be free. I think she might leave Jenna alone. So I agree that it's like the best case for a game. But I do think that this is like a little bit of a bust throw. Like, I know we only saw one sentence and I think they pulled it for this reason. But like, she doesn't come in like explaining why Baron Day should go in. She comes in saying like, I know you hate Zach. And, like, I'm not with Zach.
Yeah. I'm torn because I don't know. We haven't really seen, like, the strategic chops from Jenna that much to, like, give her credit for this. So I don't know. I feel like this is just, like, Jenna's like way of just pleading to Nani or something. I don't know. It's hard for me to think that Jenna would preemptively go into this and be like, all right, even though like I love Zach, he's my boyfriend, I know he's going in, so I'm gonna separate myself from him. It's a logical thing to do, but I just can't picture Jenna doing it.
Well, I feel like you're almost giving her too little credit. Like, Jenna's been in this game a long time. Now, do I think it's possible that Kara asked her a question and was like, Jenna, like, Zach's like talking all this shit to me and is against me. Like, where do you stand? And she says, like, we're playing very different games. But no matter what, like, the prompt of her saying this is, like, I don't know why she'd say this to Nani. It doesn't seem like Nani has a problem with Zach. Like, I think this is clearly an appeal to Kara and Polly in the sense of, like, she knows they have the majority of the votes. Like, Nani's vote is irrelevant in this. And it's just like, we're playing very different games. Like, I don't know how that is. Maybe it wasn't, like I'm saying, I don't think her intention was to be like, put Zach in. But I do think it was like, Zach doesn't speak for me. Like, what Zach is saying about you guys, he doesn't speak for me. Like, I'm my own person. I'm playing my own game, even though we're together. Like, don't associate me with him because clearly you hate him.
Yeah, to me, I think that's to me is the snare that it was broached to her. Like, are you tied to Zach completely? And she's like, no, like, I want it to be known, like, I'm not playing. I just don't see her saying that independently on her own.
But I still think that's a big thing to say, right? Because, like, I feel like Jenna a couple seasons ago might have been like, well, he's my boyfriend. You know, like, I'm going to give Jenna some credit here. I think, like, it's kind of a shady way to respond, right? She should sort of be like, regardless of our issues, Bear and Davon are the problem or whatever. Like, if she wants to be like totally loyal to Zach, but to come in and be like, he's my boyfriend, but I'm a here for me, like, that, I'll give her credit on that. Whatever prompted her to say it, like, that's not an easy thing to say in her position.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like, three years ago, Jenna definitely wouldn't have said that. So that's good.
And then Zach and Zahida, well, you know, what not to do. Although, is there anything they could have done?
No, but I mean, you could have also just not been total dick to Kara, although Kara playing up like, no, you'll leave when I tell you to leave also isn't great. So I just hate both of them. So there you go.
Yeah, Zach was like terrible here, but I think Kara went way too hard to like bring Jenna. Like, I think when Zach did not like acquiesce to her, like, she kind of went on a power trip and it just like didn't work for me or for her.
Kara's upset because Zach was trashing her relationship, so she's going to turn around and trash his relationship.
And then Bear and Davon, again, like, Zach had the worst tribunal of the episode, then Bear's like, hold my beer.
I mean, this was like a horrible thing to say, but it was just like, I legitimately like laughed out loud because he was so preposterous when Bear was like, I can't get over your style choices, whatever he said to Ninja. That was just so preposterous of an insult that I just had to laugh.
Like, but it was also like, Natalie was like, this is the, like, it was the most disgusting act of poor sportsmanship. And he's like, so is your dress sense.
It was unbelievable.
And then, yeah, you're lucky Paul is your partner. Like, Nani is a flirt, like, has to stop flirting with him. Like, he just, all of his comebacks are totally irrelevant to what's happening. Like, at least what you said about Kara is true. Like, it was on point. Like, Zach talks shit about relationships, so Kara responds to talking shit about relationship. Here, Natalie is like, you were a bad player, and Bear is like, you dress weird. Nani's like, you're being disrespectful, and he's like, you need to stop flirting with me. It's like very like, no, I will not make out with you, like, chlorophyll, right. Thing. Like, it just, like, it's just so, I don't know, whatever. Like, I want to say it's because someone's drinking, but like, I don't think alcohol was the enemy here. I think Bear just sucks.
No, that's just Bear. That's the type of stuff I could get behind because it's so preposterously stupid that I could just look at it and just laugh because it's so comical. It's when it starts to get like the deeper and darker where it's like, dude, just like, stop ruining the fun. Like, I just want this to be funny and you're making it like not funny and it's dark now.
This is when Will Simon said, how the hell did Bear win Celebrity Big Brother UK?
Yeah.
Amen. But as Kara, we've talked about this before, like, correctly points out, like, he really does only listen to Turbo and Theo and completely talks over Nani, Natalie, and Kara.
Yeah, and the timing was perfect because Kara first brought it up. She was like, yeah, so he talks over all of us and only who talks to the guys, and then he immediately, I don't know if this was the time we were editing, he immediately then goes, Turbo, what do you think? It was like perfectly timed with everything.
It's like, I don't know if you watched The Women Tell All last night. This is not a spoiler, but like someone's like, I'm not a bully. The definition of bullying is like someone who intimidates someone for being less than them. And like, as she's standing up and screaming at the person, like, oh, okay, cool.
It's a great example.
I think Davon handled this like the absolute best that she could have in this moment.
Yeah, no, she was great. Felt her pain. You felt her kind of looking at Paul. You felt their big brother kinship kind of come through. It's a tough spot, you know, like there's nothing she could do like when her partner's sinking her game. Like all she can do is hope that people like her enough to keep her around. And she played up to that.
Yeah, like I think she just like stays calm. She makes these like individual emotional pleas, as you're saying. Like I think she's like connecting with each individual, like Polly, she connects with Kara. I mean, Nani was like, I respect you as a competitor and as a mother. Okay. I don't think it was because of Davon that they didn't end up going in. I think it was more because of Zach, but I still think she, especially because everything Bear was doing is so like not Davon, that I thought it was really impressive that she like kept her ass together.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think like she didn't save them from going in, but she also didn't further the cause of them going in. So like she did her part at the most she possibly could.
Yeah. Let's talk about what Zach says about Kara here after the tribunal. Do you think this is worse than when Amanda was like, I want your horse to die?
This was bad because this was like my, like I, like they were like, so it seemed like they were so close and he is just like torching her like worse than like almost anyone's done in like recent memory. Like, and Kara gets a lot of abuse, but this was like brutal. And it's like, this was like someone she was like close friends with. Like, I mean, like they're close friends. Like they go the hardest at Kara. Like when Laurel does it, now Zach does it. It's good grief.
Yeah. What was really hard about this, besides that Zach is horrible, and like the thing Zach was saying, like it was almost like grain of salt because like none of them had substance until she's like, until they're like, your boyfriend's effing you for followers and like you think about Kyle. Like that was deeply, deeply personal, but like pathetic loser, no life, worthless as a human being, horrible, horrible things to say. Absolutely meaningless. You could say that to anyone, you know, like whatever, Zach, you suck. Mm-hmm. But nobody says anything to him about it. And that to me is like always the hardest thing to watch about one of these things. Like someone's going off in these like horrible, horrible ways and nobody's like, dude, this is too much.
That's what, yeah, it's crazy. Like, I know, I mean, to be honest, in that type of situation, I don't blame, it's hard to blame someone in like a game environment and someone's like a clearly outcast to be the one to step up and be like, no, like, don't say that. Like, that in the real world, it's different. I think in the game context, it's always different.
Well, I almost don't think it's different in the real world at all. Like, I think not like the show, The Real World, but like, I know you mean right. Like the actual world, but I think people let people do this all the time.
True.
I think that's part of the problem. I think this is just like an example of this. And like, even Kyle, like even for Zach's sake, right? Like, where is Jenna to be like, this is not good. You know, like it's, I'm not even saying like in defense of Kara. I'm just sort of like, somebody who's got Zach's back should be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. You don't mean like, well, we've now crossed over the line and people hate you. I mean, Zach doesn't care, but at least, but even if it's not out of like to protect Kara, just like, oh, we're not having fun anymore.
Yep. It would be nice to say for sure.
Then Zahida has a breakdown, but I didn't get anything out of it.
No, just Maddie once again being great, ingratiating herself with more people, more teams. She's great.
She's, while Kyle goes and screws everything up, Maddie's there to like pick up the pieces.
Yep.
But Kyle actually does have a stroke of genius here on this game night. The Old Vet Alliance goes down to have a poker night. And Kyle winds Bear up with the express purpose of making sure Zach is safe while Bear runs his mouth. Jeremy Barton says, Kyle is good at this game. And I wrote back to him, is this a question? And he said, sure. So Kyle is good at this game?
So yeah, so I don't know if he's good at this game, but that was a good move. I'll give him that. I mean, overall didn't work, but I like the process.
I mean, I generally think that Kyle's like got a decent sense of the game. Like, I think we often see little snippets of this kind of thing. And I got told on Twitter that I was wrong about how, like, Kyle tries to get out of the Kyle, Kara, and Polly stuff. So for what we see on the show, I think Kyle has good game sense of, like, I don't want to be involved in this. Like, I'm not sending you in, Kara. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Even it's, like, to his credit to not send Kara in when he knows she'll beat him. Like, he doesn't let his ego go over it, which Polly would not. Like, Polly lets right. his ego win, which I think is not good at being good at the game. Oh. But apparently Kyle like kicked up some shit with them before they went out on the season. So maybe he is trash and the edit just wants a hero for this increasingly dwindling, as you said, season.
Right. When in doubt, lean, trash.
I did think this move was better and more less complicated and more effective than Cam's like quote unquote mastermind vote.
100%.
And then Bear, I don't know. What did he even do to this table?
Didn't like you do much other than knock everyone's like chip stuff on the ground, which would be the most annoying thing in the entire world, especially if you were winning at the time. But other than that, the table didn't go down. Which
I don't know. Wes was like fixing the leg, like he just like belly flops onto the table.
And it seemed like he just put like a salt packet underneath though, and then it was like, all right, good to go.
Ugh, what's your feeling on Bear after this episode, or where were you before, and where are you now?
So this is like the first few weeks we didn't really get a sense of Bear. Like this is like the real sense. Like the first few weeks Bear has been kind of, you know, decent competitor, like flirting with Georgia, not getting really in the mix too much. So like I don't mind him being a villain. Like I said, I like the comically preposterous stupid stuff because I can laugh at that. It's when it gets like kind of darker than that, which we didn't see too much, but I could see it coming, so I don't want to get to that point.
Yeah, I don't like Bear. That's it.
There you go. It is decided.
I'm out on Bear. I don't think it's going to get any better. I think it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, that's probably true. Which is why I'm trying to steer clear of the incoming train.
Especially when he's like talking to Devon, like totally sober next day. And it's just like, I don't like the way Ninja's carrying herself. Like, what? Get me out of here if that is your assessment of the night's events.
Of all people, Ninja's the one who's bringing Bear down.
Ninja was, like, playing poker in another room that you were not in, and you came and jumped on the table like an absolute baby and literally said, if I can't play, nobody plays.
Yeah. And she wasn't even, like, insulting him. She was, like, talking about his sportsmanship, of all things to, like, phrase that as. That was, like, the most polite way to phrase his his ethics of the challenge. It was poor sportsmanship.
Let's talk about the killing floor. Quick side note, the music is usually fire on the challenge, but I feel like this season especially, the music has been absolutely amazing.
I mean, all in all, this has just been a phenomenal season. Like, I feel like there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, everything about it has just been great.
That's it. All right, Kara casts her vote with this big, like, self-important speech. Leah says, how hard did you roll your eyes when Kara talks about how healthy and perfect her relationship is? Devon level hard?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think I said this last week. Every time someone has to talk about how much, how happy they are, how in love they are, they have to keep emphatically saying it. Just makes me believe it less and less and less and less.
It's amazing because I do think Kara like truly believes that Zach's motive is because he's threatened by the presence of a healthy relationship, which like Zach couldn't care less about a healthy relationship.
No,
much less be threatened by it. He doesn't need to have a threatened healthy relationship. Like everyone just falls all over him, so who cares?
Right, he's got Jenna.
And Jenna, I think, speaks up for Zach here, like in the way that she should. Like, I mean, I don't think that like Zach should be spoken for. But like, look, if you're dating this person, you love this person, you're moving to Michigan for this person, like. I think what she said was appropriate within the bounds of the game in terms of like your delineation of like real life versus the challenge, which is right. Fair. Like she does it without, I think, making a bigger enemy out of anyone.
Yeah, totally. I'm 100% with you. I thought she at that point, she probably should have stood up for him, and she did, and did it in like a classic good Jenna way.
So yeah, Kara and Polly and Ninja vote for Zach and Zahida, and the other votes are Theo voting for Gus and Jenna, which is a burn vote, but no one said it. And Nani and Turbo vote for Bear and Devon.
Yes.
No big surprises.
No. So then we get the long deliberation of Zach and Zahida discussing who they want to go up against.
Really quick about the Zach and Zahida thing. Kyle says it's because of him. And that made me think, like, is it really because of Kyle? Like, had Zach not talked shit on Kara and just, like, been friendly with Kyle, been Kyle's number one, but, like, was not overheard talking shit about Kara, do you think this still happens?
I wouldn't... probably, but not definitely. I feel like this is just, like, if you can't go after Kyle, going after his right-hand man makes the most sense, and then just the way Zach has alienated himself from Kara just made it a lot easier.
See, my gut says no. Only because, again, I don't understand then why when Bananas is in the picture, it's not like Kara's working with Wes. Although Zach thinks he is, maybe he is, and we haven't seen it. But it's almost like if Kara has to be thinking, like, if Kyle's out, then my friendship with Zach can be fine, right? Like, Bananas was here, and we were all fine, and now Bananas is gone. If Kyle's gone, Zach is still one of my best friends in the house. So I don't know that she goes after him, but then the question is sort of like, I don't know who she goes after at that point. So
yeah,
maybe she then goes Amanda Josh, but I think it's a more interesting viewing experience to see what Kara would do. And I guess maybe we'll get the answer now that Zach and Zahida are gone, unless Kyle ends up in the bottom.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I mean, the Zach's behavior and the falling out between him and Kara certainly made this a lot easier.
But they end up calling out Wes and D. Did this shock you or just stun you? Or neither, I guess.
Yeah, it was surprising. It was. It was. I was actually, as relatively impressed as you can be about Zach making it seemed like it was an open dialogue. It wasn't like a him and Amanda situation where he's forcing his decision down her throat. So even though he kind of got his way, I think it was like more of an open dialogue.
Yeah, no, I totally, but I don't think he did get his way because he wanted Bear and Devon.
Yeah, but I think he could see at that point early on and then didn't want to say Josh and Amanda.
Oh, see, I read this as like he continued to be like, please, like, can't we do Bear? Like, he kept going back, like, in my, and I see what you're saying because he didn't say name. So, like, I kind of thought he was still saying, like, please, like, can't we do Bear and Devon? And then it was sort of like, once she's only putting out Wes and D or Amanda and Josh, she's like, fine, Wes and D. I agree. I thought it was crazy. He's actually listening to his partner. And I think she was right. Like, I don't think they would have beaten, well, maybe they would have beaten Bear and Devon because of the foot race. But I thought Zahida had a valid point that wasn't just like, he's my buddy from the UK. It was like, if we do beat these people, we come back to a ton of enemies.
Yep.
That just isn't the same with Wes and D or Amanda and Josh.
Right. That's totally fair points. Totally fair.
But what I'm shocked about here is I think Wes and Dee are the wrong, like, yes, Amanda has your back, sort of, in the sense that she's gunning for Kara, but, like, I feel like we missed a conversation with Amanda and Zach here, because you can beat Amanda and Josh. Like, I think they would have definitely beaten Amanda and Josh. I mean, anything could happen, but at least in the running portion. And, like, you definitely can't beat Wes and Dee.
Yeah, that like I know a lot of their points made sense about you don't want to, like, if you call someone out and win, you're going to piss a lot of people off when you're back in the house, but you ultimately have to get back in the house. Otherwise, it's all moot. So, like, you just can't go up against Wes at that point. Like of all things, like, you just can't. Like, that, like, that's just, can't be the target.
Exactly. It's like when people don't want to play an idol because they want to use it later. But, like, if you get voted out now with the idol, you won't be able to play it later.
Yeah, so congrats. Like, they didn't cause waves in the house, and now they're home.
Edward Morris and I had the same thought about, like, doesn't this prove that Zach was not working with Wes? Like, maybe that played a factor in this.
What do you mean to play a factor?
Well, like if I call out Wes and D, I'll prove that this was I'm not working with them.
I think he's kind of moved past that. Well, if Bananas isn't in the house anymore, so what does he have to prove it to who?
Oh, future games. Oh, future, I think way more about the future. I mean, Bananas seems to still be pissed.
Yeah, I think the confessionals would be the clearest sense. Like, if you're going to, whatever you say in the confessional would be, like, the clearest sense. And I think if Bananas doesn't believe it from, like, what he's seen through the show, then, I mean, that's on him.
It's almost just like I don't believe that like Amanda is like that strong of a potential ally for him to risk him losing the game for. Like he risked his own game to like not send in Tony because of like the Amanda thing. But now he's going to risk his game because like Amanda's a potential ally. Like I just feel like there has to be more at play here. So I'm stretching, but like what the hell?
No, it doesn't. I mean, to have like a maybe fringe possible ally in Amanda who's like, who cares if they're even an ally? Like, how often are they even going to be in a position of power regardless? So it didn't make much sense.
Who are you rooting for in this elimination?
Wes, 100%.
See, like, I obviously wanted Wes to stay in the game, but, like, and, like, I wanted it to be, like, whoever is the least big victory for Kara. So I think that was Wes. But, like, both of them were really going to be a victory for Kara.
Yeah, I guess so. But Wes, like, he just had so much more to the show than Zach, and with Zach on, it's one let made one more step to getting rid of the Kyle drama. So yeah, I mean, like Wes is already made like making waves in the next episode. And the next episode hasn't even started yet, with the last 30 seconds of them all plotting out what Wes is gonna do. So he's great. I forgot how much I love Wes.
Oh, Zach adds nothing to the show. So yeah, I think it has to be Wes here. So I liked this elimination though, the lights out elimination. I liked that it was like a puzzle plus physical.
Yeah, it reminded me of like a combination of like a Mario Party game and something they do on Big Brother.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think it favored Wes and Dee, not in a way that they could have foreseen, because all you come up to is a black box. Although I think you could more or less determine that like of the things that could happen in that black box, a puzzle's probably likely.
Yeah, and I think was it Dee who said like she almost like doing the puzzle better in the dark, because like the colors were kind of throwing her off, and that's kind of a good point. Well, it almost is just simpler just to focus on the shapes rather than like having the colors kind of like mess you up.
Oh, I thought that was total nonsense to me. Like maybe my feelers aren't great, but like you're feeling around these puzzle pieces. By the time they get like, by the time I feel like you could figure out a match, like they're back with the lights on.
But I mean, the colors had no semblance of the puzzle, right? So it was really just putting the shapes together, so that
yeah, but you have like to feel the shape and then feel the board like that. I laughed at that, but like fair enough. I mean, she won, I didn't, so
yeah, that's true.
I did love Jenna's final burn when like Wes and Dee do pull it out and Zach and Zahedi are going home, and Jenna's just like, come talk to me in 5 years and let me know if your relationship is still good. It most certainly will not be.
And I would probably say the same about Jenna's relationship as well.
Well, I think is that not how long they've been together?
Has it really been? I mean, it definitely has been 5 continuous years, so.
On and off. All right. Aaron Zanny says, do you think the season is so short because all the challenge stars are getting eliminated early?
No, I guess it's short because they have to plan out they're all going to London for the reunion, so they got to work on all their visas.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Someone tweeted to us like, oh, spoiler, like, must be that, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. I mean, it's also the case, like, yeah, I mean, at this point, there's so many more UK people. So it's like the odds are that like how many UK teams are left and how many non UK teams are left? Let's see if we can do this without anything. D and Wes, that's an easy one.
Right. Who's Leroy Pauly and Ninja. Again?
Leroy and Shailene, she's from Canada.
Okay.
But that's still international, right? So, like, I don't know how being in Canada when you're being in London when you're Canadian works, but like, right. All right, let's throw them in for argument's sake. So that's 3. Who are we missing? People are screaming at us, I'm sure. I guess I could look it up. War of the Worlds.
Ashley's a UK person, obviously, right?
Yeah,
Turbo is like Turkey, so I guess that makes it easy to go to London.
Okay, but like in terms of non-US, right? So there are only 2 teams left that have 2 US people on them. I think that's right. Josh and Amanda, so that's 3. Mm-hmm. Josh and Amanda, Gus and Jenna. That's four. Okay, so four out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So only a third. So there's 66% chance that like a team, or that's not, I'm doing statistics wrong, whatever. Only a third of the teams have both US people in it. To me, I'm just sort of like, at this point, we have a mostly international cast and people have to be at the reunion. Like, I'm not, I get that why people want to read into this as a spoiler. I'm not accepting it as a spoiler any more than that the fact that there are two thirds of the teams have international people on them.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, this is like basically the Challenge UK. So it kind of like they've done the reunion in New York for so many years now, like there's so many probably UK people watching this season more than any other season. So it would make sense to do the reunion there. It's like when the NFL does a game in London. They want to expand the fan base.
Also, in terms of the like interesting people, like Kyle, like who's gotten a lot of like buzz on this season, like Kyle, Theo seems like he'll be a big deal, like up and coming. Bear, like you can't just like Skype all these people in, like it's just horrible quality. I mean, we saw that with Morgan, like her thing kept freezing. Like you just got to get people there.
Yeah, it would be very funny now if they have horrible quality Skyping the US people in, seeing like CT on the busted US camera.
I'm assuming the US people can do it in London because they can film this,
right?
So like,
you would think so.
Wherever they are. Like, I think it's just the U.S. thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Or maybe it's less expensive to have people sue. But I mean, but to have people work. But, like, to me, them doing it in the U.K. is not like, oh, we don't need to have Bananas or Wes or Nani or Jenna or whatever, Zach. It's like, we can have everybody there.
Also, I mean, we don't really need to have Bananas or CT or them there. But sure, we will.
Dylan, James, and Jessica Colton had similar questions. So this is Jessica's question. Did you notice Polly twirling Kara's hair during the killing floor? I know this is random, but it was just so odd.
Yeah, I noticed it. So at first, I thought it was like him twirling, like he had like a, I thought he had like a hoodie and he was twirling the string. I was like, nope, that was just Kara's hair. Yeah, they're odd.
Yeah, they're gross. Bob Diddley says, whose drama would you rather have for a partner? Kyle, Zach, or Bear? Now, I don't know if the question is like, if you could like put their drama in human form, or if it's like, who would you rather work with given their drama?
I mean, before this week, I think it was pretty clearly Bear, because at least he has all the UK friends and he wasn't really any enemy, like I mean, directly coming after him, as opposed to like the Zach and the Kyle and the Paulie, that triangle. So before this week, it was Bear. Now, after this week, Bear might be the worst one to work with.
Yeah, see, I would almost say Zach again before this week, because like, what was his drama? Like, this all happened today between her and him and Kara, like you were saying. But yeah, I'm just none of them, please. Thank you. Next.
Let me work with Leroy.
I mean, anything would be an improvement on Shailene. Perfect segue. Joey Gardner says, Leroy's partner has yet to have a confessional. Sorry, can't remember her name. Is she the most inconsequential player in .. history?
Yeah, I mean, Purple, so was Shailene. It's very funny because I don't even remember her, who she was either. So yeah, not great.
Bummer. Let's do the prospect of the week. Who do you have?
I'll go with Ninja. I mean, once again, killing it. Getting in the mix with Bear. We'll see if she strays with her vote at some point, but I'll go with Ninja.
This is so funny. I also put Ninja, and I kind of thought it was like a little bit of a wild card, not because like she's not killing it, but it just sort of hit me episode 5. Like, has she been the prospect of the week yet?
Maybe early on. Did we say her when she did the jump one?
Like, no, because I think who won that elimination?
Maybe I said Georgia for that.
I think Maddie. Remember. Wasn't that Maddie's elimination?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, so anyway, I also went with Ninja. So that's it. That's who it is.
Okay.
There you go. No 5-star reviews this week. People were nasty. And to that, I have to say, I feel like we've misled you guys by promoting the reviewing system to believe that we care at all what the non-5-star reviews say. We don't. So to that end, if you want to leave us a 5-star review, that's what we care about. You can do so at robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You know, you've made it when people like take time out of their life to say something nasty. Like, that's, it really is the greatest 5-star review is a shitty review. But the better ones that we actually care about are actually 5-star reviews.
And a t-shirt.
Sorry that it apparently I had bad audio quality last week, but like we barely got the podcast out last week.
Yeah. Proud to say we're almost done and no flooding. We're going strong. Everything's clean.
Oh, it is funny that before we got on, I asked you how the flooding was and not how your birthday went.
That was clearly the more important part of what happened last week.
The more memorable part of the podcast.
Yes, most definitely. I'll never forget turning 29 ever in my life.
All right. You have the drinking game?
Yeah, so just a few. We have Tribunal partners voting differently. We had one of those, obviously, a flashback earlier in this season. I don't really remember that popping up, but three British slangs.
I thought it was early in the season. I'm sorry, I jumped in.
Yeah, what's funny is I think it's supposed to be flashback earlier in the episode, unless I tweaked it. Maybe I tweaked it. Three British slangs and a whopping 30 subtitles.
Yeah, I do think you tweaked it because it didn't get much play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then social media. So we have a lot, and a lot has happened.
For the drinking game, by the way? Anything that
I forgot.
We could pass. I was probably going to pass it. I didn't have anything that was popping in my head to add. So we could pass this week.
No, I have something. I just forgot because I got overexcited about the social media. Because, like, shit's been happening while we've been on, and, like, I just don't even know if I can, like, cover it with the tweets live. But, like, I'm going to try. I'm going to stretch myself. If you're listening an hour and 10 minutes into the podcast, I think like you're going to bear with me on it. It'll be fine. Yes. Brian might not, but the people listening to this definitely will. I have two and I'm not sure. So maybe we add because I'll give you the two and you can pick one.
Okay.
Probably if you were going to pass anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I already like brought in Turbo, but I kind of think like I want to modify my Turbo one, but I'll leave that one. But like, well, first I think Scolded by TJ is a good option.
Mm-hmm.
And not like roasted, but like scolded, like what he did. This was a scolding. Or anytime someone says an inspirational quote, which Turbo said two this week, I think he'll say more.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of negativity. Let's go with the positive one. Turbo, like,
all right, feed the positive. Keep feeding the positive.
Keep the positivity. Paul, like, inspirational quotes.
All right, so we'll add that. Thank you for the assist. All right, so what is happening? Let's start with what our digital communications manager, Magna Elizabeth, sent us yesterday. Hunter did an Instagram Live. Somebody tweeted a clip of it, and that clip is Hunter being like, Amanda was my number one alliance, like, going into the game, like, no problem, but, like, she was disloyal. She could have broken the tie and, like, put Ashley into the elimination. And Wes was like, so like, I think you're going too far and I don't agree with you. But like, Amanda's weakness is that she didn't control her partner. Like, Josh could flip. So like, I don't want to work with someone who could flip on us. Okay. Amanda retweeted this clip and said, that's weird because Hunter refused to talk to me before we left for the show. And even on the show at the beginning, he said over and over, he was not my friend, yet I told him I still will always try and I'll always have love for him. He only wanted to be my friend when I had a vote. Eye roll emoji. We'll just call that Davon emoji from now on. And then Amanda said, I left it up to Josh and told him all the facts I had about both teams. Why would Josh choose to save someone that threatened my place in the game? Doesn't make sense. Chin scratch emoji. Everyone wanted us to play their game, not our own. I wasn't Hunter's number one anyway, and we all know that. P.S. Oh, I'm sorry. Hunter did say my number one female alliance. Whatever. And then she said, P.S. I didn't want either team in there. Remember the people that nominated you to begin with. Two other teams that vetoed me when I fought for you. The guy you, quote, hate, and that trash B you call your, quote, friend. Vomit emoji.
Yes.
Okay. And then very funny from Megan. She wrote, I don't know if anyone cares about Hunter and Ashley drama, but here it is. We care. Okay. So here's the regular tweets from the episode. Turbo retweeted a video the challenge put out about Zach bashing Kara, and Turbo said, facepalm emoji, WTF. Sorry, but how can say she is loser and Pauly Calafiore uses Kara Maria cause her fan, facepalm emoji. I saw it. They love each other. So I think what she's saying is like, how could you say this? And that like Pauly's using her. I saw it. They love each other. When they looking each other, I was feeling love. This is not true. And why talking behind them? Like just like frustrated emoji, especially he can't because he has a relationship also, hashtag respect. So like Turbo coming in to respect Pauly and Kara's relationship.
Good job.
And then Pauly said, I'm sick of this shit. Paul. I sat in a redemption house for 4 weeks where people came in over and over again saying specific men were talking S about me. I eliminate them last season. This season, I target every single one of them again, and I'm the problem. Y'all can F right off. And Davon said, hey, take a breath. Remember what we talked about yesterday? The work speaks for itself. Heart emoji. Okay. Kara said, another classic clarification of the challenge that needs no clarification from Kara. She said, and despite putting the tire in the wrong spot at first lap and having to run two extra laps because of it, we caught up. Theo stood on my shoulders to put the star on the Christmas tree for a much needed second tribunal win. Heart emoji.
Puke.
Hashtag drunk tweet. blah, blah, blah. Stuff from Brad I'm going to skip. Oh, Kahuta entering the mix.
Oh, Kahuta.
He said, this bear guy may be more use in the challenge house as a rug. Give it a cabin kind of feel.
What a bird.
Ooh. Okay. Da-da-da-da. Oh, Davon says, fun fact, my hand wasn't really stuck in that tire. My ass was just procrastinating because I was tired. Tired emoji. And Leroy wrote, we know. Tilted laugh cry emoji. this is a little fun bit. Josh said, I love bear, but I was finally winning at poker. WTF. Shrug emoji, mind blown emoji. Mucus emoji. And D said, babe, you weren't even close. I like that. Kara said, still in love with him? Really, Zach? If that's your definition of love, it totally explains you justify the way you treat your girlfriend. Tilted laugh cry emoji. Nothing funnier than a woman being in a relationship you determined to be disrespectful and laughing about it. Okay. I think that's like kind of, I mean, there's a couple more, but I kind of want to get to the new stuff. So thank you to Megan Elizabeth. All right. So Pauly says the Elimination King doing Elimination King things. Oh, and his prodigy D crushed her first elimination as well. And then, a watcher of the show, Nikki, said, I really wish after they won, Wes would have reminded all the new people about his previous 13 elimination wins. And Pauly said, he did. Don't worry. Oh, they edited out his 10-minute spiel about how he's not to be effed with.
Put that online somewhere. I'd watch every minute.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I like that. And then let's see what else we have here. Okay, Kara said, Zach came in second place to a quote loser in the Vendettas final, wasn't partnered with a track athlete then. You lost to a loser this challenge, and you got voted into the killing floor by a loser, and you lost. What exactly does that make you then? Okay. Yeah, Kara's, and thank you to Tom Palmer, who's tagging me in these now as I'm looking at these. Okay. And then I think here's a big important thing. I can't keep reading tweets without having read them before. I'm sorry, everyone. Okay. The Ashley has tweeted out that challenge fans started a petition asking MTV to take action after cast members discuss alleged assault of Amanda Garcia during War of the Worlds. Now, I'm going to click this link. We're all going to go to this together. This is a link to an article on the Ashley's Reality Roundup. A petition was posted today on change.org. And it says MTV The Challenge show cast member footage. So they're petitioning. 57 have signed. 58, 59. It's like it's jumping. It's interesting that this was started by Gigi Moreno, and it's interesting because it's not like punish, like get the people who perpetrated this off the show or whatever. It's like, it says, quote, challenge fans know that certain entities at a certain television studio are sending threatening letters to cast telling them they'll be sued if they discuss a man assault and covered up. I don't know anything about this. I'm reading this together. Maybe I shouldn't be reading. I don't know. But like, they want to be able to see that. Like they are.
So they just want to see it. They just want to release the
as
footage?
Fans. We want the cast member to be able to see whether or not actions of the pranksters were malicious or not. So unclear. They want Amanda to be able to see it.
I think they want
76 have signed.
To see it.
People are signing this. I'm unclear. No, now I understand. MTV The Challenge show cast member footage. So like show it to the cast member, not show the footage of the cast member.
Got it.
Like show it to the cast member. Interesting. Okay.
Developing story.
Yeah, we are live on the scene.
Are happening now.
Yeah, that's all I have.
There it is. That's all you have.
Next week we'll be doing this on a Thursday, so I will be more organized.
And until then, you can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challengeiTunes or follow me on Twitter at @ComanBryan_.
Please, guys, if you were waiting to do the Akiva prank till after, and you're like, "I'll listen to this podcast," I'll remember. Here's a reminder. Please do that.
Also, remember to send Danielle when she should watch the challenge this season. Both very important things to do.
Wait, do what?
Remember, we're supposed to send Danielle updates about when she should watch Pauly.
No. We're not sending Danielle updates. I want to know if she's watching the chat. Like, okay, what so is Danielle doing watching with her? Don't bombard Danielle about Pauly. Definitely don't do that.
Okay, scratch that. Everyone ask Danielle if she's watching the challenge.
No. Ask the powers that be. Ask the people who like might interview people. Like Us Weekly, where are you with that scoop? We need you.
Yes.
You can follow me at Lash Tweets, but I feel like I've been mean today, so like maybe don't talk to me because I don't care.
Never.
Oh. Wait, we just got a very big email from Megan Elizabeth about Cam's Instagram Live. I will sort through this. We will get it's a very large email of Megan summarizing this about the Davon and Theo stuff. Cam talking about it. I'm going to sort through this. We are going to keep our ear to the ground on this, and we will get back to you with this. It's a to be continued. We're not getting them on the challenge now, but I know you guys can deal with it. We will sort through that next week.
We need one of those like live reporters that stands on the ground during the hurricane and gets the wind and the rain brushing through them. This is
we have it. It's Megan Elizabeth. She's in the field right now. Does not quit.
Oh man!
I mean, I'm happy to read this right now verbatim, but I feel like at 11:43, you have work. We should probably table it.
Probably. I'm currently in the bedroom, and I can sense Emily wants to go to sleep. So yeah, we should probably kill this.
Here's a fun little bit from it. Cam said she had a crush on all the rookies, so it's going to be great.
That's a fun tease. We'll dissect it all next week. Until then, have a good one.